Jacob, I have one word for you.
What's that?
Sandwiches.
Sandwiches?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have one for lunch?
No.
Okay. Why are we talking about sandwiches tonight, Mike?
We're talking about sandwiches because we need to talk about something. And I think what do most people have in common in their life? Sandwiches. You know, everybody's got a sandwich.
Uh-huh. A specific sandwich that they are good at making or that they enjoy?
Yes.
This is off to a great start. Yeah, sandwiches. This was a topic on our initial list of topics for our podcast before we even started the thing. And it's just sort of been one of those things like, how do you even go about talking about sandwiches? And why talk about sandwiches? And I think I added it to the list. Is that right?
Definitely. You added, I would say, 90% of these topics to the list.
I think that sounds right.
The question is never who added it. It's when.
It's why.
And why. Yeah, I guess is the other question.
So with sandwiches, I'm passionate about them. I love them.
Webster's Dictionary defines the word sandwich as...
Oh, I thought you actually did prep for an episode of Podcasm.
No, I absolutely did not. I mean, I thought about it ahead of time, but, you know.
But you didn't.
No, but I didn't. I mean, we're improv masters, Jake, you know. I didn't go to school at UCB, but yeah, no. I mean, I was just thinking, like, do you remember sandwiches as a child? Any specific sandwich as a child?
Bologna sandwiches.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Those bologna are the first sandwiches. Ones, for sure.
And those were the first ones that I learned to make myself. Like in high school, I think I subsisted off of bologna sandwiches.
Purely bologna, or did you have like American cheese or any other accoutrement?
Well, I would do lettuce. I would do romaine lettuce with bologna and cheese was my sandwich. I was always dry. I hated mayo.
Mm.
No. It's like I was a dry bread person. And it was, you know, it's good. It was a good way to live. I made the mistake once of eating liverwurst because I thought it was bologna. Like my mom bought liverwurst once. Never made that mistake again.
Yeah. Huh.
Man, liverwurst was disgusting. To be clear, I'm a vegetarian now, so I haven't had bologna in a good while, but
Oh man, where to bounce off that? Okay, first of all, yes, bologna sandwiches were definitely my first childhood sandwich. It was bologna on probably wheat and ketchup. Always bologna and ketchup. It's a big processed.
That's fucked up, and we should end this call right now because you just said you put bologna and ketchup together. Get the fuck out of here! That's disgusting.
As a kid, I didn't even like American cheese, so I didn't put that on there. My sister would have that,
I wouldn't. Ketchup?
Absolutely, I still love ketchup.
I don't understand you guys. Do you like vinegar?
No, I hate vinegar.
Okay, you and Aaron are the fucking worst people. Like
I know that ketchup has tons of vinegar, but
like
it's
vinegar
different.
Vinegar on French fries is an amazing treat, and vinegar on most dishes is an amazing treat. Like salt and vinegar potato chips, I love it. And then, like Aaron swears up and down, she hates vinegar. And then I'm like, oh, but you're putting ketchup all over your goddamn French fries. That's vinegar. It's just vinegar.
It's not though. It tastes different. I don't like vinegar. I'm with you, Aaron. That's disgusting. When I go to the fair and I get my fries, I'm gonna stop multiple times for ketchup because I'm not the kind of person that just puts it all in the top and then sticks my finger in that. It's nasty. Squirt it down the side like a gentleman, and when you run out, go back.
It uses egg whites, mushrooms, oysters, mussels, walnuts, among other ingredients. The ketchup is vinegar. It's tomatoes, sweeteners, and vinegar.
It doesn't have that pungent smell, though, and that's what gets to me. Most of what I eat
it
as a result of what I smell.
It does have that smell, because I hate tomato ketchup. And, like, maybe you could say, like, oh, well, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. But, like, no, I just don't like anything on my shit. You know, like, no, like I'll go for some Chipotle mayo, actually. You know what? I changed my mind.
Oh, man. Fancy sauce?
Yeah, fancy sauce.
They sell that now, that you can buy fancy sauce in a bottle.
It's just called fancy sauce.
I don't know what they call it, but it's Heinz ketchup mixed with
some Chipotle sort of mayonnaise. Well, that's the thing is I worked in a sandwich shop for college.
What? Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, new layers. I told you I can go for a while on this topic. I have
was
a lot
worried.
To say. We haven't even talked about peanut butter and jelly yet. I mean, this should be like an hour and a half long episode.
That's
to be honest.
The true for a sandwich. If we're real,
peanut butter
like
and
that
jelly?
Was probably it. Yeah, smooth for sure.
Well, I mean, how do you feel about a Fluffernutter?
What's a Fluffernutter?
Ooh, that's right. You're from Ohio. Marshmallow fluff.
Oh, okay, sure. Is Fluff and Nutter the name of the fluff or the name of the sandwich?
Well, fluff. It's fluff and
with peanut butter
and Nutter. Nutter
okay.
being
no,
the peanut
I've had
butter.
That. Yeah, yeah. I've had that. I've never heard it referred to as a Flutter Nutter, though. That's fun.
Well, yeah, it's like a Boston thing, I think, the Fluff and Nutter. Like, maybe I can look this up and see if it's actually something. But yeah, peanut butter and fluff is what I called it as a kid, and then eventually every other kid around Boston was calling it a Fluffer Nutter. It's Fluffer Nutter. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. But like, yeah, New England, region or state, Massachusetts, created by Emma Curtis.
Hmm.
Thank you, Emma Curtis, for everything you've done for us in the sandwiching community. Yeah, the sandwich is particularly popular in New England and has been proposed as the official state sandwich of Massachusetts. That's sad. I mean, it's kind of cool, it sticks out, but like proposed as the official state of sandwich of Massachusetts, not like a pastrami on rye or whatever, you know, like it is a fluff-a-nutter, a child sandwich, a sandwich enjoyed by children.
Pretty good. And you can't do you eat a marshmallow fluff now that you're vegetarian or
I haven't been a part. I eat marshmallows, I guess. I actually enjoy vegan marshmallows more than I enjoy regular marshmallows. And I think anybody who ate a vegan marshmallow would also agree. I just think they're superior flavor and texture. But no, I don't really eat that stuff anymore. I don't buy it. I don't think I've seen it on the shelf, but maybe I haven't been looking hard enough.
I don't think I've ever bought a jar of that, but it was that was a staple when I would go to one of my friends' houses as a kid. I have a very specific memories about eating that kind of sandwich.
That's
but what
cool.
I learned from that was that you could use things other than jelly, and I was only a grape jelly guy. I didn't like any of the other varieties. Ooh. I eventually
strawberry
came
jelly.
Around to you know, like peach jams and other sort of things. Yeah, grape as a kid for sure. But then when I found out that you could put bananas, like sliced up bananas, on a peanut butter sandwich and add a little bit of honey, ooh, that changed the game. Then I realized you can do different things with a sandwich. You can make your own kind of sandwich. It's not just something
that
mom makes you.
Well,
you got bread, you got ingredients.
Rules.
There's no rules. Exactly.
Right. It's the thing. I mean, like the rule is that it has to be in between two pieces of something. Like.
Yes. Yes.
But then you get into the realm of
open-faced sandwiches.
Which I support open-faced sandwiches strongly.
Like, I like a good sandwich that you can eat with a fork.
Yes, absolutely. Like, it's like, I don't know, like potatoes on a slice of toast or something like that with like a stew. Like a stew on top of a piece of toast. That's an open-faced sandwich for you right there, you know?
If I get a gourmet burger, I eat it with a fork.
I can't support you in that.
Well, you know, if you're in like a somewhat fancy restaurant, and you've got this burger, like a burger is still a burger wherever you go. But when you're in a fancy restaurant, you don't want to pick up this big, nasty burger and be that carnivore in the corner.
I do. I mean, not the carnivore part, but like the veggie burger part. Yeah. Yeah. Like the thing about cheeseburgers, because I mean, slight tangent here, but I consider a cheeseburger a sandwich. It's, you know, it's two pieces of bread and something in between. All right.
Yeah, it is.
So with the burger, I think the purpose of the burger, and maybe all sandwiches for that matter, but burgers I find specifically important, is because a burger has a center, you know? Mm. And I don't mean like the center of the actual patty itself. I mean like the oh man, there's a calculus term for this that I'm not, like it's a, shoot. I mean, it's like a sector, but it's like a 3D. Anyway, the core of a burger is very important because that's where all the ingredients are colliding, and the ingredients don't collide on the edges of the burger. So I feel like a burger, like when you're eating a cheeseburger or whatever, you're setting up the perfect bite, and you do that by eating the outside of the burger first and leaving kind of like the stick of burger in the middle that contains like the patty, the cheese, that's like the spread or whatever. Like it's got everything that you want to eat, and that is going to be your perfect bite. This is something we figured out in the dining hall in college. It's like,
whoa,
we were all eating burgers and we all kind of looked down. We're like, hey, we're all eating our burgers the same way. And you kind of just like,
you're blowing my mind.
Well, just try and think about it like subconsciously. Like, I mean, I think we do it subconsciously, but like when you're eating a burger normally, not like a fork and knife, you heathen. Just think about, you know, what you're doing. Cause I guarantee you, you're going to be setting up that burger. Like, if you're crazy, if you're eating a burger, like, and leaving the edge to the last, that's crazy.
This brings two thoughts to my mind.
What does it bring to your mind?
First of all, I thought, okay, I agree with you. If the core of the burger is the best bite, you could theoretically core your burger and just eat the best bite. You know, you could immediately get to that best bite. And that's an interesting
idea here. Yeah.
But why not? Why not take that knowledge and apply it to the entire burger? The entire burger could taste that delicious if you layer it properly.
Well, it's not. It's about, because like you have patties that, I mean, some restaurants will serve the burger inside of the bun, you know, like it doesn't extend past the edge of the bun. Some have it like dripping over, like my favorite burger place around my apartment. Mm-hmm. They like every time I buy a burger there, I, you know, it just hanging off the edge of it. And I don't mind that because it gives me a chance to eat the like the patty and just like taste the patty without toppings on it. I think it's the best of both worlds situation.
But I feel like you could engineer this from the top down if you really want to put the effort in.
You'd have to manufacture the bread and the patty to be perfectly in line with each other. Like,
well, I think you get the bun. You pick your bun. Like, you're not going to have a whole lot of control on that unless you want to bake it. But I feel like that's too much effort. So get your bun. And
it needs to be made in a cylinder, like a parfait burger.
Oh.
Like, you need to be able to, fill... It's like, you ever had those cupcakes in a cup?
Yeah,
like that brand that sells it. I think it's like a Shark Tank thing. But like, that's what I want. I want a burger in a cup. That way.
Interesting.
I mean, then you can't eat it like a burger. So that's not
fun. You can eat it with a fork like I do.
I want to be able to like shake it out and just essentially, I just want a cake that is a burger, you know, like that's what I see as like a layer cake. You know, you have the filling going up to the edge and you have the frosting on the outside. So like every bite, if you go down vertically through that cake, it should be a symmetric cake, a symmetric bite. Every bite should be identical.
Okay.
If you go vertically. That's what I want for a burger.
I like that. I like
and
that.
So that's what I see the perfect bite coming from. That's how I see it being engineered.
Oh, this episode's going to be such a problem. I haven't had dinner yet, and I am just salivating.
Really? Dude, it's so late. Okay, so the whatever company we use, I get it wrong every week. I think it's Home Chef is what we use this week. they gave us today, it was the first variance in their menu. Normally just like, you know, flatbread, pasta, rice dish. Mm-hmm. This time they gave us mac and cheese, but also chili. In the same meal. So it's a meal. It's basically you just cook elbow mac and cheese and then you ladle chili on top of it. And then,
oh dude,
yeah, it was great. It's actually the most innovative thing they've given us since starting their thing.
You put that on a bun, you got yourself a sandwich.
That's like a sloppy joe, sort of
a sloppy cheese,
the vegetarian sloppy cheese. Anyway, that's not sandwiches. Let's get off of that.
Well, before you mentioned that you made a sandwich mistake one time with liverwurst, that brought
that
to mind
terrible.
A really terrible experience that I had in Boy Scouts where, you know, in Scouts, you're generally, every camp out, you have somebody that's designated as the cook and you gather money from everybody that's going to be in your little cooking group for this camp out and you go out and buy all the ingredients. You guys, as a group, plan your meals out for the whole weekend and then you buy everything in preparation for that. Somehow, when I was tasked with buying the ingredients, I accidentally picked up a head of cabbage instead of lettuce.
Ooh.
Which makes for a very different BLT.
Yeah.
It's a BLC and it's not good. It was a very bad sandwich.
Yeah, like very bitter. I mean, it's really about what you're expecting. It's like you ever drink a glass of milk when you're expecting orange juice or something like that, or vice versa. Yeah, it's like that.
That's precisely the experience.
But I mean,
it
if someone told
shocking.
You were getting a cabbage sandwich, you'd probably be like, all right. I mean, like sauerkraut in a sandwich, not a bad idea. Oh my gosh, I just remembered something else we got to talk about.
Oh, please.
Wait, hold on. What we were talking about.
My BLC? That's the end of the story. It was a bad
time. Oh, I mean, it's like buying mustard green instead of kale, which I've definitely done. I think color blindness definitely attributed to that. But. Anyway, what I was going to say, well, maybe we should say that at the end. I want to talk about best sandwiches, you know?
Okay. And should we save the, like the local joints for the end as well? Is that kind of like part of it?
That's what I mean. I don't mean like best sandwich to make or whatever on my own. Like I just want to talk about the best sandwich that you ever had.
Fair enough.
And like those things, but it can be local joints. I want to give the listeners some like a destination. I mean, when I go traveling, all I care about is going to hit like food spots, like the best local sandwich or whatever. best local pizza. That's like, I don't care about seeing anything. I care about eating. That's
right. All. Yeah. Yeah. I'm all about eating when we travel. I always want to try something new. Okay. So if we're going to say that for the end, then let's talk about the kinds of sandwiches that you make for yourself at home.
None. I don't make any sandwiches. Nothing. Maybe a peanut butter now. Cause I know no more Fluffernutters. I haven't had a Fluffernutter since probably high school. I was eating. So I've been at my job for 6 years, my day job for 6 years. And for the first, I want to say 3.5 to 4 years, mm-hmm. maybe five, I had a peanut butter sandwich for lunch every day, mm-hmm. every single day. And that was to spite all my coworkers who like went out and spent like $15 on lunch every day and brought back these like, you know, like 1,000-calorie meals from whatever food joint is around us.
Yeah.
I just, not to spite them, but like just in contrast to them, because I just was just not wanting to do that to myself every day, monetarily and physically, mm-hmm. just eating way too much for lunch.
And the peanut butter sandwich is a good choice because it sticks. It leaves you feeling pretty full.
Like, you know, like peanut butter prices have fluctuated over the past few years based on crops and whatever. I think just like for bang for your buck, like I was just buying like the cheapest, I didn't buy like organic wheat bread, but mm-hmm. I would just buy like the store brand wheat bread that used like molasses instead of high fructose corn syrup or whatever as their sugar or whatever in their bread.
Yeah.
So I would just buy one, like a loaf of that for like $2.50, $3, and then a jar of peanut butter for anywhere, like whatever was on sale for the peanut butter, you know, and that would feed me for like maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks mm-hmm. of just straight up peanut butter sandwiches for 5 days a week for 2 weeks straight. And that was cheap as hell, you know, like break it down cost per meal. That was great.
That's a bunch of sandwiches.
You know, I would do peanut butter banana sandwich like yeah. that. Nothing better. Mm. Nothing better.
So good. Add a little honey. Just a little
I was just about to say that, man. My dad sends me a jar of honey every year from this local like bee place in Florida. I think my dad made friends with the bee people because some bees colonized his garage like to an extreme degree. Like you pull back like the ceiling in the garage, and it was like a section of his garage was just like all honeycomb. Mm. He had to call in like bee experts to come and take that shit out. Like it was illegal for him because it had turned into like a full fledged bee colony. It was just like a hive outside your window. This is just like they had colonized at the roof of his garage. So he brought in specialists to come in and take all his honeycomb. Like my dad could have just opened up like a place and just sold like Kraft like raw bees honey for like $100 a thing. And instead the experts came in. Declared his house like a national wildlife preserve. But yeah, so anyway, he made friends with those people, and then he just gets honey, I think, from these special farmers and sends it to me in the mail. And one time he sent me six jars and one of them opened in the mail.
Oh no.
Like it just cracks. So I just get a package soaking in honey. Like everything is sticky. There's just broken glass in honey. It's just a very unpleasant experience.
Oh no.
Five jars remained intact though, so it was fine.
See, you got to individually wrap those in the plastic bags.
I think he's like the least amount of bubble wrap he could find. He taped it in bubble wrap, not understanding like the package could also be compressed and like the bubble wrap was not thick enough to protect anything.
Oh, man. Oh,
yeah, it was like that's just tiny bubble wrap.
I'm totally down with the peanut butter sandwich, though. Another scouting anecdote, when I would do backpacking trips, the whole goal is to pack as lightly as possible, which makes it difficult to bring a different kinds of variety of food. Generally,
it has to be dry goods, too.
Yeah, it's got to be dry goods. But one of the best things that you can bring, in my experience, are tortillas that are pre-rolled with peanut butter. You just take a tortilla. You slather as much peanut butter as you can, and then you roll it up. You throw a bunch of those into a little sack, and you have yourself some peanut butter taquitos. And those are great. And those fill you up all day. You're not hungry until you're settled down for the evening and you have time to actually cook a meal.
All you need are carbs and protein when you're doing those hikes, and it's great.
That is great. Okay, so you don't make anything currently at home, like sandwich wise for lunch?
No. Or? I mean, like if Aaron and I are like out of food and it's like we get home late or something like that, or like I'm not home and like Aaron doesn't feel like cooking, mm-hmm. or I don't feel like cooking, then we'll just then she'll probably make herself a peanut butter sandwich or something if I'm not going to be home for dinner. Mm. And that's what she does. Like, it just, or like on a Saturday afternoon or something, she'll make herself a peanut butter sandwich. So that's like the only thing we keep.
Interesting.
In the house, like we don't like our fridge, besides the box meals that come, box ingredients, mm-hmm. we just pretty much just keep a pretty bare cabinet.
All right.
And no deli meat, you know, like,
yeah, of course. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's like all mine is generally
just deli meats.
Yeah. And I don't make them often because I'm the only one eating it. So it's like hard for me to justify buying a pound of turkey, a pound of ham.
Oh, wait a second. I got a good sleeper deli meat that I just remembered.
Okay.
If you haven't incorporated, do you ever mess with buffalo chicken?
So
I remember loving
on occasion.
That.
On occasion,
buffalo chicken breast sliced.
I don't like when I'm hungry. I don't think that's what I want to eat. I'll get that as like a, I don't know. I'll get that at like Subway on occasion, and maybe we can get into Subway later.
Bad.
But I don't know, buffalo chicken. I like it as a dip, but I've never really made it as a sandwich.
When I was still eating cold cut sandwiches, I definitely remember that was like a treat and a half of if. Like I would go when I in college, I still went to the supermarket and would, you know, buy like half a pound of deli meat or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so that was my thing. Like, oh yeah, buffalo chicken, sweet. And I introduced my girlfriend to it at the time. She's like, why haven't I been buying this my whole life? It was like, it blew her mind that you could have buffalo chicken breast.
Yeah.
And put it on a sandwich and like, you know, toss some cheese on that, whatever. Those are good times.
I do like chicken breast. My top meats are your standard chicken breast, you know, I'm talking like shaved deli, right? So you got your chicken breast, your various honeyed hams. There's different kinds. Black forest ham.
Hot ham water. Yes.
and then turkey. And there have been different kinds of turkey. I've had some that have some really interesting like dried rubs involved. And I like those, but I like to do a combination of usually one or two meats with a white cheese, typically provolone. Every once in a while, I'll go Swiss. And lately, I've been trying some different ones like Munster and different kinds of like, you know, there's all the different Jack variations now. I'm big on those. And I like throwing a bunch of different things on, adding a little bit of romaine, maybe tomato if we have it, always onion. And that's my sandwich.
Onion is very dangerous because it's raw onion usually,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I have the time, maybe I'll saute it, but I don't know.
I love, who's got the time? Like, I used to, at the sandwich shop I used to work in, we would caramelize the onions in the morning. That was fun.
Yeah.
Like a raw onion on a sandwich, though, it's danger zone, man. Like, because if you have to interact with another human for the rest of the day, you're pretty much done. Like, there's no amount of Listerine that can get onions off your breath right after a meal.
Yeah,
like you can cover it up,
but I'm okay with
Listerine.
I genuinely don't care because it's so good. I don't think a sandwich is
you're
a sandwich without
that
onion.
Your social standing with your colleagues, you know,
don't care.
Your peers. Oh man, breath is such an important thing for
like,
me.
What are they going to say? Your breath smells like onions. Okay, I just had it. I had it.
No, they're not
going to
tell you.
Sandwich.
You're
going
to become onion breath guy. That's what's going to happen.
That's fine. It's fine. I mean, I don't think it's that overpowering, but I just love the taste, man. It's good. I'll put onion on literally anything. Like the other day, May made a really good dish. It was I think it was kind of like an Indian curry. No, what was it? I don't know. She makes a lot of like rice based dishes as well. And she made one the other day that was great. I'm like, you know what? This could go for like just a little bit of onion. I don't want to overpower. Oh, it's tacos. Okay. So it makes sense, right? They go well on tacos, but it's like a vegetarian taco. So it's like hard for me to like remember that as a taco. Cause it's, yes, we're eating it on like homemade tortillas, which are fantastic. But it's made with, like sweet potatoes and beans and cauliflower, which to most people isn't a taco, but
yeah, like a taco. Yeah.
So good. So good on its own, but a little sweet. You just need a little bit of onion to give it a little bit of bite. Not too much, just a little bit.
Cooked onions are great.
Yeah.
Raw onions are dangerous. That's all I'm saying. Like I used to eat raw onions as a kid, you know, at dinner or something like that. We just slice an onion and put it on the table. And like if we're having a burger or something, like you just, I don't know. I also like, it's like a very much like a nurture thing. Like my dad was like, oh, you got to eat raw onions, you know, like it's going to put hay on your chest. You know, I was like, a 10-year-old being like, yeah, I want hair on my chest. And like, just like wanted to prove to my dad how good of an eater I was or something like that. But I would just eat a lot of raw onions.
What about a panini press? Do you guys don't, I take it you don't own one.
No, I had a George Foreman grill in college, but okay. That was horseshit. So, I mean, like, I just don't like, I don't know. Like I stopped, like my meals like are very boring. Like everything I've got creatively and like effort wise is all going to go into dinner for me. Like I wake up in the morning, I eat a lot of cereal. Like I go through like probably 2 boxes a week of cereal. You know, in the morning, just have 2 bowls of cereal, and yeah, 7 days a week, pretty much, I'm eating cereal every morning. Then my lunch is just, I mean, I'll say it here, I guess, because I have to at some point, but I drink Soylent for lunch. I think rule number one of Soylent is that you don't tell people you drink Soylent because they look at you like you're out of your mind, and probably for good reason. I mean, like anytime I've said like, oh, I drink Soylent, and someone's like, why? I'm like, I don't know. It's easy. You know, it's easy. And it's like a way to measure what's going into my body. That's all I can say at this point anymore. You know, like it can't be like, I like the taste of it, or like it's super easy.
Yeah. But Soylent is the anti-sandwich.
It is the anti-sandwich. And that's why I think, you know, it's very interesting. Like I love a good sandwich, but I'm more about convenience, as you know. I'm about convenience and just like, you know, my workflow. Like my lunches, like I can finish my lunch in like 2 minutes if I don't have to like hold it in my hands and eat it. If I can just drink my lunch.
Oh, sorry, I like to enjoy my lunch though. I think lunch is the most important meal of my day.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's just a hindrance to me. Breakfast is my favorite meal of the day. Dinner is a time when I really just get full, and lunch is just a hindrance. It's just taking away from me being able to do something else.
Okay. All right. So if you get a sandwich, you know, what's your preferred side? Do you prefer chips or fries?
It's really going to depend on the type of fries.
Okay.
You know, like you got to scout out these fries beforehand. You know, if we're talking like thick fries, then, you know, obviously that's gonna be my choice.
Okay.
So add a little vinegar on there.
You say thick fries. Are you talking like, or
not
item?
Steak fries.
Okay.
Those are steak fries you're thinking of.
No. I think that we need to do some more clarification on this. To me, a steak fry is a pretty hearty fry. It's still fry shaped, but
like wide.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Okay. But, some people think of steak fries as what I know as either river fries or JoJo's, which are more of a wedge.
That sounds like a regional thing. JoJo's, I've never.
Yes, JoJo's is regional around here. River fries is what they're known as in Missouri, where I get them often. And then like wedges is probably more of a general term. But you're not talking about wedges?
I guess. I mean, I'll take a wedge. You know.
Okay.
It really depends on the sandwich too. If it's like a super heavy sandwich, I'll opt for the salad. Mm-hmm. You know. And then if it's like a lunch thing, I'll probably go for chips if I can.
If you have a choice, what is your ideal sandwich chip?
Never Lay's.
Okay.
Unless they're like the kettle cooked baked ones.
Right.
Like I don't like, it's got like Cape Cod chips. I'm a, you know, Boston boy through and through. You know,
those
Cape
are
Cod
so
chips.
Good.
Yeah, they're great. I mean, and recently in the last few years, like a lot of other brands have stepped up their game in terms of making like kettle cooked chips. And,
oh yeah. Got some right
like
here,
that,
buddy.
None of that. Yeah, like just the Lay's. Okay, that's some great Foley work right there.
Snyder of Berlin. Oh, these are Hawaiian sweet onion. They're amazing.
Yeah, weird chip flavors. I'm down with that, but not if they're like the texture is what does it for me. Like, never been a sour cream and onion fan. That grosses me out a lot, just because it's got like sour cream in the name. Just,
I love them for about 3 minutes.
Yeah, talk about breath smelling bad.
Oh,
Jesus.
Man.
Sea salt and vinegar used to be a standby, but I think Cape Cod changed their formula, so it doesn't taste as good anymore.
I think they did.
Yeah. And then the sweet pepper ones, like those are, that's really where it's at. Like the cracked pepper. Oof. And I don't want, and I don't like Ruffles. Like, you know, we were talking about Lay's chips and like their old, like their basic Lay's.
Yeah, yeah.
Ruffle, they have like their Ruffles too that are basic Ruffles. I like the kettle cooked Ruffles.
Yeah. Like, and, like, well, there's a much different like consistency.
It's like, it just makes it better for some reason. Mm-hmm. Curly fries, waffle fries, just better.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. Waffle fries all the way. Chips are very, very interesting to me, and I try all of them. Like, I think it's Lay's that does the chip trials. You know, they'll try out, like, a new flavor.
Oh, yeah, yeah, like, vote on a flavor.
Mm-hmm. I've tried every one of them.
Have you tried prawn chips?
No. Is that a Lay's?
Yeah, you can't talk about chips and liking trying chips if you haven't messed with prawn chips. Let me just be clear, they're disgusting.
Is it East Coast regional?
No, I think it's more of a European thing.
Oh, okay.
For chips to taste like shrimp.
See, I've not tried that. I'd love to, though. I very much liked the sausage and gravy. Those ones are good. The dill pickle ones, not so much. But if there's a new kind of Lay's, I will buy a bag. And I'll probably not buy a second bag, but I like to try them all.
I couldn't commit to a whole bag of something I didn't like.
I'll pound them down. Chips don't often make it into more than one sitting. Like these Hawaiian chips that are sitting here, I like these a lot because they taste delicious, but I can't eat enough of them that I finish it. So they stick around for a little while longer. I'm able to enjoy it.
How about a falafel wrap? Is that a sandwich?
I'm sorry. Explain to me what falafel is. Like, how does that differ from falafel a general wrap?
Well, falafel is fried chickpeas. That's the filling.
Okay. I'm sure I would love
essentially
that.
It's like a food processed chickpeas, balled up. I'm sure there might be some adhesive to get them to stick together and then deep fried.
Okay.
And then
that sounds awesome. I've never had that, but I want that.
Man, you got to come to the falafel in my area. We got lots of falafel here. Put in a pita, usually some cabbage in there, maybe some other vegetables, and then tzatziki sauce. I'm probably saying it wrong, but it's just like it's a really like a spicy yogurty sauce on top of it. It's delicious. It's fantastic.
That sounds done right. Good to me. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Is it a sandwich? Is like a pocket a sandwich? Are we talking like, I mean, if tacos are sandwiches in this conversation,
I mean, is it a sandwich? No. A substitute for a sandwich? Yes, because it's the same ingredients primarily
is it
in
lunch?
A different form.
Yes.
Oh yes, lunch. Yeah, I eat wraps constantly, and I eat a lot of bad sandwiches for lunch, especially recently because I'm at school during the middle of the day on Mondays and Wednesdays. So
do you like vending machine sandwiches or whatever?
They're a step above. And ones that they have this semester are worse than the ones they had last semester. At least the ones last semester came in like a little plastic container. The ones this semester are just wrapped in plastic and they're awful.
Yeah. That's like at the airport last time I was there, I was like trying to find dinner and there's just all these prepackaged sandwiches there.
Yeah.
Most of them were not vegetarian. The ones that were just like old wet bread.
Yeah. And most of it's bread.
Not a good sign.
And if the bread's not good, you got yourself a real bad sandwich.
Yeah, because the bread's cheapest and it's just easy to fill that thing up.
Yeah. You can barely see anything between the bread and the sandwiches I eat every day, but it's what I have to do to get by.
That's why I switched to Soylent, man. It's just not. I can't advocate for it because I recognize how weird it is and that like how joyless it is. But as far as utility goes, it just, I need my lunchtime to do work usually.
And I appreciate the Soylent for what it's doing for you, but I very much need to enjoy my lunch. Like it's one of the very few pleasures I get during the middle of my day. Like most of my days are plagued with classes that are very boring and homework, which is also very boring. And I just need something to bring me joy. And generally that's a midday shower and a nice lunch.
Oh, man.
Okay, I have a game.
Okay, let's do the game.
So I'm going to describe to you some popular U.S. sandwiches, and you're going to attempt a guess at what the name of that sandwich is. And if you want, and I can...
Are these like popular like sandwiches that exist in every city? Or are these going to be like, you know, Smokin' Sam's, you know, burrito sandwich?
Now, don't go looking this up, but this is a list of what countryliving.com says are the 14 most popular sandwiches in the United States.
Yikes.
And they're separated out. So we can go about this a couple ways. I can either give you the name of the region of the United States where it's popular, or you can use that as part of your guess, because I think some of these are going to be hard to figure out the name for, and some of them are pretty general. So
let's do like a small doses thing. Like you'll tell me the thing and then I'll ask for the hint and you'll give me the region or something like that.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Well, okay. Dole out. That's like 20 quid, or like you know, I get an extra, my point value goes down as you give me more hints essentially.
Okay. I'm going to start with an easy one.
Okay. I'm going to get it wrong.
I guarantee you're not. Whether you think the country's best lobster... Shit, I gave you the name.
Okay, is it a lobster
I thought I edited the descriptions to take out the names of these things. I messed up on that one. All right. This one might, this might be okay.
Like okay. Ron Burgundy reading off a teleprompter. go right. Fuck yourself.
This is not your standard roast beef sandwich. Rare
is it a roast beef sandwich?
No. Rare thin cut beef gets a special kick from horseradish and the kummelweck roll topped with salt and caraway seeds.
This has a name?
This has a name. And if you want, you can maybe guess where it'd be from.
I could not guess where this is from.
Really? Okay.
One more time. Can I get this clue one more time?
This is not your standard roast beef sandwich. Rare, thin-cut beef gets a special kick from horseradish and the kummelweck roll, topped with salt and caraway seeds.
Salt and caraway seeds. I have no idea.
Okay.
What's the answer?
Here's a
region.
Hint.
Give me the region.
It's a northeastern sandwich.
Northeastern?
Mm-hmm.
That narrows it down to like 16 states.
It's, I believe, south of the lobster roll.
South of the lobster roll. So in New York City?
Mm-hmm.
Is it like a pastrami?
It's not, because that would have pastrami.
No. I don't know what pastrami is. This is how much of a vegetarian I am. I couldn't tell you what any meat is.
This is called the beef on weck. It's apparently very popular.
Very, very popular. In what state?
New York State. It's a New York State okay. Original. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. Let's try something different.
I really hope as a listener just like screaming, it's just a bravo. What was the name of that sandwich?
It's the beef on weck.
Beef on weck. It's a beef on weck. How could you not get this?
Okay. So here's another one.
Uh-huh.
This one features fried shrimp drenched in a spicy, rich remoulade sauce.
Po' boy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nailed it. Okay. I had to skip a lot of parts of this that said New Orleans, Louisiana.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're getting better at self-censorship here.
Yeah. Well, I didn't censor the regions initially because I thought I was going to give you that. I thought maybe
I should wait
to
the end of the description. I'm sorry. I cut you
off.
No,
that's fine.
Listeners don't want to have it ruined for them, right? All of our listeners.
No, this is fun. Okay. How about this open-faced ham and provolone cheese sandwich makes use of crusty French bread lathered with garlic butter.
It's a ham sandwich? Ham and cheese.
You can finish this masterpiece by toasting it for a gooey, cheesy finish.
A ham melt? I don't know.
I'd accept that. I've never heard of the name of this either, but apparently the famous name for this is the St. Louis Gerber sandwich.
Why would you accept ham melt?
Because that's what I would call it, but I don't live in the South.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so St. Louis is a Missouri thing?
Yes, I'm assuming this is a Missouri thing. Okay. Let's see. Okay, two restaurants have actually claimed to invent this one. So this sandwich features sliced roast beef topped with cheese, served with a side of hot au jus dip.
One more time.
It features sliced roast beef topped with cheese, served with a side of hot au jus dip.
Au jus dip? What is that?
A-U space J-U-S. Au jus. I could be saying that wrong. Could be au jus?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I give up. What's the region?
The region? The West. Yeah.
The West. Mm-hmm. Well, that narrows it down.
Could you give me maybe the name of where this would have been invented?
Aegis.
Los Angeles. It's called the French dip sandwich.
Nope, no idea.
All right, this one's very, very easily. If you get this one wrong, you know nothing about sandwiches.
Oh God.
So, the name of the sandwich, please. The best avocados in the U.S. come from California. So if you're going to have a West Coast sandwich, it better have at least just a few slices of this creamy green fruit.
Avocado? What? So wait, there's a sandwich?
Mm-hmm.
Like avocado toast?
No. This is a full sandwich.
How? I should know the name of this?
Yes.
Sandwich with avocado.
Yes. This is a very famous sandwich, but with a Californian twist.
I have no idea.
This is the BLTA.
Oh, come on. That's not like a very famous sandwich.
The BLT?
The BLT is, but like, how would I... But you didn't say bacon, lettuce, and tomato.
Oh, because you can get a BLTA anywhere now.
I guess I need to up my sandwich game then. I don't know. Or okay. Investigate more sandwich places. I don't know.
How about, I think the Midwest has some of the more iconic sandwiches. Maybe that's because I'm from the Midwest, but let's try one or two of these before we call it quits. Okay. All right. The jury is out as to whether this classic sandwich was invented in Omaha, Nebraska, or New York City. But either way, you can get your corned beef fix with this recipe, drenched in Thousand Island dressing and loaded mm-hmm. on top of fry bread.
That's a Reuben, right?
That's a Reuben.
Okay, got it. That's the one you should have been like, yeah, this is, you have to get this one.
Yeah, I'll admit that was on the second page. I didn't see it.
Nice.
Okay. Man, what other these might you know? All right. How about this? First served at Louisville's Brown Hotel, this broiled open-faced sandwich is piled high with turkey, bacon, tomatoes, and cheese sauce. I want this so bad.
Mm-mm. I don't know. It's not specific enough, I guess.
Okay. All right. Well, I think if you've had it, you probably know what it's called. Like, I think that that's probably the idea. And this is probably not a fair game for you because you don't eat meat anymore.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe I would have encountered it more in my travels as an adult.
Well, this is the Kentucky Hot Brown Sandwich, which I have had
in my life.
And is absolutely amazing.
This is where the Midwest thing comes in handy. How have we not talked
about
that? Well,
that's a Southern sandwich.
Or whatever, you know? Like,
because these are regional favorites that you get at restaurants. Like, these are regional. Like, a Sloppy Joe is an everywhere sandwich. That's the working man's sandwich.
Right, but that should be the popular... That should be what this article is about, just sandwiches that literally everybody knows. Peanut butter sandwich in here. The Elvis. What's the Elvis? Peanut butter and banana, right? That's an Elvis.
Didn't know that. All right. Well, good job. I think you did just fine.
I like that you made a game, and I'm happy I learned something from it. I hope that listeners did too.
Serves me right for doing some preparation.
Hey, but, I appreciate it. And
no,
I
at the very
it.
Least, these are some interesting sandwiches that maybe some people listening to the show have never heard of because apparently you've never heard of them. Some of these I've never heard of. Like, there's something called the muffaletta sandwich. It's a New Orleans
I've
sandwich.
I've heard of a muffaletta. Yeah.
Have you? Would you have got that right?
Yeah.
Okay, then describe what a muffaletta sandwich is.
No, describe it. You describe it to me and I, because this is one of those things, like, I've heard the word, but I don't know what it would be.
Okay. Well, it's a mashup of deli meats and olive salad spread. I don't know.
Definitely would not have gotten that.
But it's apparently famous to New Orleans Central Grocery.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, apart from that, you know, there's the Chicago-style Italian beef. There's the breaded pork tenderloin sandwich, the Denver omelet sandwich, the chicken speedy sandwich. Spidey? I don't know. Yeah, there's some really delicious looking sandwiches on here. My mouth is watering so much. I'm so hungry.
Yeah, man.
All right. Well, if you've never had any of these, what are your favorite sandwiches at your local joints?
I guess I couldn't call them local joints because the best because I, you know, after touring for long enough, you get to experience enough sandwiches and in other cities. I mean, I'm sure there's some amazing sandwiches in New York City. I just haven't really experienced them. And also as a vegetarian, it's like really hard to find a sandwich you know, yeah, a sandwich place that's like really geared towards you. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess not in New York City. It's not hard to find it, but it's, you know, like as someone who doesn't go out for lunch very often, you know, it's not really, I'm not the right person to be asking. But when I was touring, mm-hmm. I did get to experience, and this is probably going to, like, I feel like people from Pittsburgh are going to be mad at me, but Permonti Brothers is probably one of my favorite sandwiches I've ever had in my life. I guess it's a chain now in Pittsburgh, so probably not great. But the first time I went there, it was like it seemed very, very blue collar. Like we got there like late at night, very dark parking lot, walked inside. And it was not like the second time I went, when I went to like, it looked like a, you know, a fast food joint or something like that. This place, mm-hmm. you walk in there, but Permonti Brothers, their thing is like, they put the fries in the sandwich with slaw, I think. Oh,
yes. No slaw, but fries in the sandwich all the way.
Yeah, and I got the fish version of that because I was still pescatarian at the time. And I think if I had to go back there and I had no other options, I'd go pescatarian again for that meal and get that. But like the fries in the sandwich, like they put it in there. It was amazing. Mm. It was a fantastic sandwich. And then number one sandwich place that exists in this world, as far as I know, is Darwin's on Clinton in Syracuse, New York. That is the best sandwich in the country, as far as I'm concerned. They are like a farm to table type place, and they have a rotating menu every week. And whenever I go up to Syracuse to record my music with Steve, we always, always, always go to Darwin's every single day. Let me read you their menu.
This is the place where you got that the meat sandwich by accident, right?
No, that was a different place. Okay. That was the same time. That was one day we mixed it up, which is a huge mistake on my part to mix it up. This is this week's menu at Darwin's. This one is called Papa Don's. Well, they take a meat every week. Like they have a beef, turkey, pork, chicken, veggie, and seafood, and then they just make a sandwich based on that. And they have one fixed menu, which is called the Ships in the Night, which is my personal favorite. So this week it's Papa Don's Texas Shocker, slow roasted beef topped with melted pepper jack cheese and served on pasta stretch loaf with our spicy Texas long hot pepper relish, lettuce, tomato, red onion, and a hit of our chili pepper mayo.
Wow, that's a flavorful sandwich.
D's South of the Birder, that's their turkey sandwich. It's their oven roasted turkey breast topped with bacon and a sharp New York cheddar cheese. Served on pasta stretch loaf with tamed jalapenos. I don't know what that means, but it's intriguing to me. Fresh cilantro, lettuce, and salsa ranch with scallions. And like, and just reading these ingredients doesn't do it justice. Like, you gotta taste it. Veggie D's. Veggie is D's Bamboozled. D's is Darwin. D's Bamboozled. It's a black bean skillet corn cake folded into a wheat wrap with shredded cheddar, salsa, lettuce, and our cilantro spiked ranch. I have had that before, I believe. Mm. And it is amazing. Because they have the Ships in the Night, they don't have it on their menu on their website because it's just like a thing that's always there. Man, I wish I could see what it is. But essentially, it's mozzarella, really fresh mozzarella with basil and these frizzled onion things. It's just basically like fried onions. So it's got that little crunch to it.
Yeah, yeah.
With the sweetness of like caramelized onions or something, but with breaded. And then like a vinaigrette on top of it. It's just the best sandwich I've ever had in my life. It just, it's life-changing. What about you? What do you got?
Well, I think if you're from the Ohio area, your go-to is Melt Bar and Grill, world famous. Lots of locations in the Cleveland and Akron areas. If bands tour through Ohio, generally this is one of the places that they stop. I take it you didn't stop through here or stop at Melt on your way through?
No, we have, I don't know if it's the same. There's a bunch, we have Melt Shop in New York City.
Different thing.
No, I don't remember stopping at a Melt.
Yeah, this is an Ohio-based company, and they're famous. They're very, very big and absolutely absurd grilled cheese sandwiches.
Oh, wow.
Let me give you some description. When I go, I don't... And also, they have, like, menu. Vegetarian and vegan versions of, a lot of their stuff. They're awesome. When I go, I try to get something different every single time. I try not to duplicate because it's a big menu and there's so many different things.
Dude, these are the real deal. I'm looking at this menu right now.
So the cowabunga is a recent favorite. This is a this is the real cheese pizza rolls, deep fried until extra crispy and atomic hot, with rich basil marinara, basil pesto, herb cream cheese, provolone, and Romano. Fantastic sandwich. The Dude Abides, that's a big one. Homemade meatballs.
Obligatory Lebowski reference.
Big meatballs. Fried mozzarella wedges, basil marinara, roasted garlic, provolone, and Romano. Big sandwich. One that I like, that nobody else has enjoyed when I've seen them try it, is their meatloaf sandwich. Oh, man. I love meatloaf.
Oh, my God. Dude, look at this. Mighty Macaroni.
That one is very, very cheesy. I'm not a macaroni and cheese guy, so I've not got that myself, but that's a popular one.
Dude, I would be in heaven at this place. This is very much a Midwestern, like, this is very much a Midwest towards Texas type of sandwich. Like,
yeah.
These pictures, like, it's like disgusting food porn. It's like, there's like, if New York City is like the elegant, you know, like, tasteful nude or whatever, this is like the disgusting triple X pornography of food that I'm looking at right now. This is horrible.
The one I want to try next is the Cuban War Pig. That's honey ham, citrus mojo, glazed pulled pork, fried pickle spears, sweet mustard, and Swiss. Oh,
let's look at these. Oh, these vegetarian options. Damn.
The hot Italian, the Parma Italy. Man, you just cannot go wrong. They've got a buffalo chicken.
Dude, we need to go. I need to take a trip to Ohio.
Please come visit. Like, this place is amazing. We could go multiple days in a row. And the sandwiches are so big. I have never finished a meal at Melt sitting there.
I would crush this sandwich. I would destroy the sandwich.
They're bigger than they look. Like, the plates are massive. Like, these...
Yeah.
They don't... There's no perspective on any of the pictures on here. They're very big sandwiches.
It looks like Texas-style toast. That's the first thing that I'm using to size these things up. The fried father, the son of the godfather, three cheese lasagna battered, breaded, and then deep fried with basil marinara. This is very much like my trip to Austin, Texas, when we just like go and get these ridiculous... I got like a burger inside of a donut in Austin, Texas. It's just obscene what you can do with food when you leave New York City. Like, New York has like all these weird kitschy things, but like, you want to eat, you go outside of New York City. Just leave the city. Oh my God, look at this stuff.
The great thing
peanut
about
butter banana, they got a peanut butter banana.
You guys can see, like, when people come, they can split the sandwich, so everybody can order a different one, and you can rotate a half of the sandwich.
Brilliant.
and swap with somebody. So
now this peanut butter and banana sandwich on their menu is really intriguing to me. So it's Texas style toast, caramelized banana, house made peanut butter. That's the real interesting part. Mm-hmm. Sweet cream cheese. I don't know. Is it sweet cream cheese or if it's sweet cream? Or it's sweet cream cheese. I don't know what the like, where should the emphasis lie there? Candied peanuts and berry preserves for dipping. That is a good brunch. I would go get, that's like a French toast, pretty much, it looks like.
The great thing about this menu is that every single one of these images is also a play button where there is a video for the specific sandwich.
Oh, no, I didn't realize that. I didn't understand why there's a big play button in the middle of the screen. Looks like that's my bad.
Yeah, there's I'm like a promotional video for each one.
They do it right. Like, even though they're a chain, my God, this sandwich looks disgustingly delicious.
They're a chain, but they've been very slow to roll out. Like, the company's been around for a while, but, you know, they only have so many locations, and the one in Akron, the Akron area, which is the closest one to me, that one opened up, I think, 2 years ago, which is nice. It's convenient because you don't have to go all the way up to Cleveland. I wasn't able to eat there for probably the first 6 months because it was packed every single night. It was impossible to get a table without waiting for an hour. Mm. It's a lot easier now, which is great.
Purple Parma. Crispy breaded eggplant, rich marinara, grilled tomato. Like, I feel like from any of the descriptions that we've been giving these sandwiches, like, the ingredients just don't do it justice.
You have to see the pictures.
And obviously taste it. But, like, this grilled cheese sandwich that is just... It's a lasagna with Texas-style toast on either side of it. And that is repulsively delicious looking to me. Like, I can't wait to visit you now. Now I have a reason to come out to see you. As if you alone were not enough.
Yeah. No, come out, man. I'll show you a good time at this gigantic sandwich factory. I'm going to say don't get the macaroni and cheese sandwich because they have macaroni, different kinds of macaroni and cheese that you can get as a side.
Yeah.
I mean,
you can get it
as a full meal, but I think you can get it as a side as well.
I think if Erin came to visit, she would have a hard time not getting that. Like, that would be... Aaron is all about mac and cheese. And if the food is white and bready, it's pretty much Aaron's favorite automatically. And oh, this man. Is just like mac and cheese, macaroni, white food, cheese, you know, usually white food, yellow in this case, bread, mm-hmm. white food, top with like, looks like cheese on the top of it, sprinkled on mm-hmm. top of there. Like,
there isn't a single sandwich here that I wouldn't try. And that says a lot, because like I'm not super picky, but there will be certain things on sandwiches where I'm just like, no thank you, I'll skip it.
Oh, it's nice. They have little vegetarian and vegan ones on there too. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Vegetarian available. I like that. I'll plan like a trip out to Ohio where we come and get like, so we can do like breweries or something like that. And
oh yeah, that'd be cool.
Do some cool food.
Yeah,
that would be cool. Cause yeah, I got some vacation time. What better That'd way be to fun. Use it than eating?
Yeah, we've been wanting to come up your way as well, but it's going to be harder for my schedule. Yeah.
And New York City is just a pain in the ass to come to.
Yeah, no well, I think we talked about the possibility of doing like a mutual trip. It would be closer for you guys, but possibly doing something in like Maine or somewhere else further away from the city.
Right. Yeah, like a rafting That'd cool. trip. That'd be sweet.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. I got to mention one more sandwich.
Yes, please.
You know, because Melt is a showstopper, of course. Like, if you're in the Ohio, northeastern Ohio area, Melt is the place you're going to go. I would recommend, however, if you find yourself in downtown Canton, visiting a place called Deli Ohio. It's this little shop, independently owned, very nice people. One of the first places I ever knew to use one of the square readers when they came out as their register. They have amazing sandwiches. They're all like homemade recipes. They're very good. There's one there called the Ham Apple Brie, which I just love. It's locally smoked ham with peach preserves, brie, Granny Smith apples, and house honey whole wheat. So good. So good. I just have to mention them because I wish more people would go there. It's called Deli Ohio. And I think they have two locations now. I've been to the one in downtown Canton. That's on Walnut Avenue. There's a place in northern Canton as well that I've not been to, but I'm sure they're just as good.
Yeah, a good like sourdough bread. Ugh. We really didn't talk about bread that much, but...
We didn't. I'm a ciabatta guy.
Ciabatta's great.
Yeah.
I feel like I always opt for wheat bread when I can for whatever, you know, health reasons I make up in my mind that I feel like I've... Like, I feel like I'm duping myself, but I'll always go for sourdough if they have it. But there can be, like, a sourdough ciabatta, right?
I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know enough about bread. Possibly. I don't know. Sourdough is May's favorite kind of bread. I'm not it's a big so fan. Good. But, yeah. Mm. If it's white and bready, yeah. I'm in. Well, I think we... Yeah, you said that. Like, where was this place? Did you mention it earlier?
It was my hometown, yeah. It was called the Atomic Cafe back where I grew up. Mm-hmm. And I was the sandwich guy. I'd come in at like 6 a.m., 6:30, get the breakfast orders going, then get lunch order, the lunch rush. I just remember the quirky turkey was our sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
It was like honey roasted like chicken breast or something like that with honey mustard and green apples. With some kind of cheese. I forget what the cheese was. Probably Munster on a ciabatta. It was great. It was a great sandwich, man. I wasn't a sandwich guy back then. I guess I'm still not a sandwich guy. I can't claim to be, but
maybe it's
I never
your
made
exposure.
Myself a sandwich. Yeah. I don't know. Mm. Yeah. I think I just became repulsed by it, but I learned how to like just make whatever I wanted, you know?
Yeah.
I remember we had to retire a sandwich from that place. Like we
Why?
Had, because no one was getting it, and we would just end up getting like a whatever, however many pounds of roast beef every week. It was called the Brazen Beef, and it was just, I mean, all it was roast beef on some probably ciabatta or something, and it was horseradish mayo with Brazen Beef with a cheddar cheese and. Roast beef.
That's an intimidating sandwich. Like
it is. Yeah, the horseradish is a very.
That's a sandwich for a dare.
It's a divisive. Yeah, I mean, I like horseradish mayo, but yeah, it was very much like a, like we'd sell like one a week and just having to lose a bunch of roast beef. Man, I don't miss working in a kitchen at all.
No,
No. I think we said last episode that everyone should have to do kitchen work once in their life, but I don't miss it.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I prefer to eat the food than to eat it or than to prepare it. But man, okay, so we've done an hour on sandwiches. I'm incredibly proud. I honestly didn't think it was going to go this long, but I am starving. I am I am salivating. I can't even speak because my mouth is so full of saliva. I'm so hungry. So I'm going to, with that, I'm going to call it. That was it. Thank you for listening to our sandwich episode.
Oh my God.
Have a great night.
That's awesome. Love it.